podcasting, oh my God, there's always, I was thinking about, there's no greater job insurance than who are these podcasts and being the host. Because there's an endless array of shitty podcasts.
It's way too much.
It is.
And actually, Drew, I have to give you credit. We did a bonus episode on our Patreon. We do two bonus episodes a month. We did our worst of 2020 episode, where me and four other hosts came in and each presented what we thought was the worst podcast we reviewed in 2020. And I brought On the Rebound with Dennis Rodman. The guy can't even talk. It's amazing.
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
You analyzed it brilliantly. I was really impressed with that on WATP. If you haven't checked out Who Are These Podcasts,
Kim and Young.
I listen on iTunes, but you're on all the platforms, right? Anywhere?
Yep, find us anywhere, yep.
And this Sunday, I had my phone, and I was just kind of walking around and just had the Who Are These Podcasts on, and it was the new one. And I could tell you guys were sort of angry that this had been selected because it was just such a bad podcast to listen to. But I got to tell you, the clips were hilarious. And
thank
I was like,
you.
No, this is a good podcast for you. What are you guys complaining about? And then I heard Busy Phillips, and I was like, oh, my God, this is just made to order. But what was the new show on WATP? Are you going to play any clips from that?
I have a couple of clips if you want to hear them. This is a show called Future Primitive. We just put it out this past Sunday. And it stars Joanna Harcourt Smith, which I believe, Mark, you were talking about this Showtime documentary about what's his name?
Timothy Leary?
Timothy Leary. She's the Timothy worst. Leary. Yeah.
Yes. She makes everything about her.
Yeah. She's terrible.
It sounds like a great hate watch, to be honest.
It's not. Yeah. Remember, she's the one that made up the whole Tommy the Tumbling Dice thing?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was her.
Yeah. She made it up out of thin air. Didn't happen.
Jeez. So, yeah, she was mixed up with Timothy Leary in a romantic sense. And then, anyway, take it away, Carl.
Well, I think the thing that you thought was fun was the show was from August and the documentary came out in November. And unfortunately, she didn't make it until that came out. She actually passed away in October. She had stage 4 cancer. Oh. And I played this clip. I have it on there as FP spoiler.
I don't want to die. I really don't want to die.
You have to understand in context, this woman's an awful person. Yes. She really just treated everyone like shit. And she was, she grew up wealthy in Paris and then
did whatever she wanted. And then she doesn't even bitch about it.
Yes. You're right.
Well, yeah, no, I really like the way you used the spoiler alert to take us to her death. Oh, my God.
Well, here's another clip, right, Carl, from there?
Yeah, this is where she reveals how old she's become.
Oh, great.
I'm an old woman now. I'll be 75 years old in January.
Nope.
Oh.
Didn't make it. Oh, man. Wishful thinking on that clip. Yikes.
That was
Carl Savage today.
Yeah, wait, who are you, Ken Jennings?
Kidding.
Jesus.
I hope I'm not up for any hosting gigs on NBC in 5 years.
It was a funny podcast to listen to. And of course, you had Stuttering John and all this. And I always enjoy Stuttering John oh my God.
Oh, we haven't talked about the cameo that someone bought from Stuttering John.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I incorporated it into the intro of the show now, too, of him just yelling.
That was pretty brilliant. Boy, people are so. Carl, you're part of a cruel, cruel world. You really are. Cruel
guys like
chunk
Stuttering
of the
John
planet.
Deserve it, though. Yeah, that's what I love about it. Like, people get their comeuppance who definitely deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to explain what happened? I don't even know if we have the clip.
Well, so the we cameo. Do our call letters in the old style that Howard Stern would say, WANBC. You know how the famous movie line, WABC. So we do WATP, and that's Who Are These Podcasts. And Stuttering John hates us. We have a rivalry. He wants to sue me. He wants to break my legs. This is all well documented. Somebody got him to do our call letters on a cameo where he goes, WATP, WATP. So now I just play it every show. Like, this is awesome.
Didn't the cameo claim that they were some Native American group and it was what they called their TP?
WATP.
He goes, we're the Washington Native American TP Association, and we always say WATP. Oh, you got it.
Go ahead and crank the audio on that, Brandon.
Is that that's this one right here?
No, I don't think it's that one. No, that's
look
him
at
hiking.
Him. Oh my God, what a mess!
At least he's outside for crying out loud.
Boy. I'm telling you, your subreddit is
that's a vicious
else.
Place. It is. It's really hell on earth. I've been there.
But you have a lot of people that are contributing to this, which means that you generate, I mean, look at this stuff. You have Photoshops of you. I'm telling you, you got a fan base of people who are really enjoying this.
There's this one guy who's been making me a South Park character. He actually put together an entire South Park town of everyone involved in our show. Drew made it. Drew Lane is on there as a South Park character. It's amazing.
Yeah, how cool is that? Anyway, so where are we going from this old bag and stuttering John? I'm sorry.
There's a show called Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best. And this made the news the other day because, as you mentioned on the show yesterday, Busy's daughter came out and this was announced on her show. You brought this up yesterday, Drew, and I thought that you perfectly summed this up. The conversation they were having was so intense. You have a 12-year-old kid laying around her room listening to depressing music, and she says something like, "I'm living, but I'm not alive," or something stupid like that.
"I'm alive, Mom, but I'm not living."
Yeah, right. It's like this really deep thought from this 12-year-old.
Oh my God, he's so deep.
So if you play my track 4, now this is Busy getting a little choked up, recounting the conversation she had. And remember, this is a 12-year-old that she's having this conversation with.
And I said to her, the other thing I want to tell you that I wish I had known is that, like, you get to build your life however the fuck you want to. And it doesn't have to look like anything you've ever seen or anything that's ever been modeled for you, because maybe it doesn't exist. And you get to choose, like, what will make you feel fulfilled and happy. You know, it doesn't have to be any of these constructs that, like, we've all been fed our whole lives. This is a different world that we're, that you get to fucking build. Anyway, it was pretty intense.
Sounds
like a rather entitled child if the child is led to believe they can build anything they want in terms of their persona. And I'm sympathetic to this child, by the way. I don't want to get the idea I'm picking on this kid.
No.
I'm picking on her mother, who is getting headlines all over the entertainment world for announcing that her child is gay on a podcast, which I think, even although she points out, well, I don't want to steal your thunder, Carl, she points out that she had the child's permission, I feel like a 12-year-old really isn't capable of permissing such a thing, are they?
Not only that, but shouldn't the parent go, "Well, no, I'm not going to talk about this. It's private, and you're a minor."
It's not something a 12-year-old should be thinking about. She, or they, I'm sorry, they, them, or their pronouns.
That last clip, though, she's providing her own construct for her daughter.
Yes.
For they, them to follow.
Thank you.
I mean, that's not only that, but you pointed out, it's really easy to just be whatever you want when you have an actress mother and pretty good life, I would assume. She's made a lot of money. And
right. Plus, is that message not getting out there to the kids? They can be whatever they want.
I think
feel like
they're
bombarded with that.
That is true. So, you never tell a kid, "You're going to be whatever society makes you be." whatever terrible degree you pick in college.
Here are your options.
Choose now.
So you just set it up, Drew. Track 6, this is her explaining that I was given permission to out my daughter.
And then Bird was like, "I don't give a fuck."
Nice language.
Like, I would
fuck them.
You can talk about that I'm gay and out. You can talk about my pronouns. That would be cool with me. That's great. So I said, "Okay, I can talk about it on the podcast." And Brady was like, "Yeah."
Doesn't mean you should.
All right. So this is the most publicity she's ever gotten by outing her daughter. She better hope her other daughter, Cricket, identifies as a gender fluid hermaphrodite with Asperger's within the next 6 months, or else she's going to pod fade, because that's the only thing going on the show right now.
Well, now, correct me if I'm wrong, Drew. The last time we heard from Busy Phillips, she was crabbing that she lost her talk show, which I didn't even know she had, at E!
Yes. I read.
And why did she claim she lost that job? Because she's a woman?
I dove so deep on the story because I was, first of all, I was reading that her show had been canceled. And then I'm reading this long post of hers about how unfair it is that there's no women in late night. I start diving even deeper. And I find out that when she started the show, right off the bat, first of all, the show is so annoying. I'm shocked it wasn't canceled.
I'm blown away.
But she's calling out all these really famous women saying, "Hey, why would you come on my show? You don't support women in late night TV, which has been dominated by men forever. What's wrong with you?" And a lot of very well-known women started coming on her show sort of heeding the call.
Nothing
which
works.
I thought was bullshit in the first place.
Nothing works better for those people in guilt trips.
Exactly.
They might be offending a marginalized... Well, wait, are women really marginalized in the majority?
In late night TV, maybe a little bit, but, you know, she was on... What network was she on? Do we know?
I thought it was E. Wasn't it
Oh,
E?
That's right.
Do you think she you think she sat down with Birdie and was like, my show's really struggling, Birdie. I need you to come on and come out of the closet. Mama, I'm only 10 right now. I don't know if you want this job for me to continue.
Anyway,
my next guest is my child, Birdie. Please welcome them to the stage.
And you also have to remember that a lot of people were turned off by the way she announced it because she posted a picture of herself like in the elevator crying.
Yeah, like, that's right. There it is.
How can this fake. Happen to that's me? That's fake.
Well, she really made it sound like it was a tragedy. It was unfair. Oh, there it is.
Come on. Mascara streaming down her face.
How dramatic. She blasted all the executives that they were these plastic people that didn't understand and implied that, you know, ratings didn't matter because this was more than a talk show. This was a woman doing late night TV. And, you know, they were judging it on this short period of time. The show had very few viewers. It was not doing well at all. It had no hope. Then she insisted that, okay, all the other networks now, all of you guys, any of you can have my show.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, nobody at that point, she's blasted the executives. She's got no ratings and no one picked it up. And so she implies in this podcast, and again, I hope I'm not stealing your thunder, Carl, that this podcast is sort of a step in between. You know, I had all these big plans. I was going to go on another network with this great show that nobody watches. But because of COVID, it all blew up. So here I'm doing this stupid podcast, and that's sort of her compromise at the moment. But this podcast, I looked it up. It's not doing all that great, to be honest.
One of her co-hosts is this woman, Shantira. And Shantira is
just one name?
That's her first name. She's a gay Shantira. Woman, African-American, who was one of the co-hosts or writers
Her pronouns? Pronouns he, her? She, her?
I'm not the right person to ask about that,
Shantira
buddy.
Shantira Jackson.
I'm really bad at that sort of thing. But I have imagined they got poor ratings because they alienate so many people. They're talking about how great the new Wonder Woman movie is.
I'm offended as a person who likes movies.
Well, it gets worse. The reason why it's good is because there was only one white man in it at track 3.
What?
I thought it was cool, and like I only saw one white man really, and that was Chris Pine. And of the white men that I get to see, I was enjoying him.
I mean, everybody knows that Chris Pine is like, if you have to be a white man, he's like one of the best white men to be.
He's one of the top two Chris's.
Absolutely.
What?
So you guys might think that they're like joking and that's kind of funny. They go on to say Chris Pine and Chris Evans are the only white guys that aren't problematic. That's the best part. They go, they're not problematic. That we know of. And who knows? Maybe they tweeted something a week ago that 3 years from now we'll all be offended by. So we can't say that they're great yet. We don't know.
If you,
jury's out.
If you have to be.
I know.
It wasn't my choice.
It's kind of stunning to me.
I know. I'm offended. It wasn't my choice.
People who are so in this woke world and so deeply enmeshed in it wouldn't realize how ridiculous it is to broad brush any group, even white men.
Oh, it's nonstop with this. But I have proof that Busy is a bad mom, track 5.
I said, you know, Bird, I've been doing a bad job with the pronouns because Birdie said that they would like their pronouns to be they, them. And I haven't been doing it.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
Why hasn't she been doing that?
So I have to say, I have to ask you guys a question. I'm going to sound like I'm wildly ill-informed, and I apologize. I'm a white guy, so I'm an idiot. But can you be both gay and non-binary? I don't understand how that works. If you come out as gay, that means you're attracted to the same sex, but you're neither sex. So how does that work?
So do you want the real answer?
I'd love it, Mark. I have no idea.
Gender and sexuality are two different things. Does that make sense? One's who you want to sleep with, and the other's who you are. Does that make any
sense?
Correct.
Which is why it doesn't make sense to be gay and non-binary. You can't be both.
Well, I
agree. I'm with you.
Carl, you're making a very interesting point.
Start from the genitals, then, and it's what you want to put those genitals in or on, and that's your sexuality, as opposed to
Oh, no, you're not being very woke talking about genitals defining who you are. All right.
No, just define where you want to
stop saying woke.
So they explain how difficult it is for poor Busy to get the pronouns right. She gave birth to her daughter, has been calling her for, I don't know, 10 years, 12 years, whatever it was. And so this woman, Shantira, whatever her name is, explains why this is so difficult for Trek 7.
Like, literally, you gave birth to Birdie, and then when Birdie came out, you were like, you used up a specific pronoun, and now you're doing your best, and you will get great at it, and it'll become second nature. But it's just like any other muscle, any other new language, any other thing, you are rewiring your brain.
So if I'm Birdie and I hear this, and I just heard my mom has to rewire her brain to talk to me correctly. Yeah. I'd be like, you know what, mom, never mind. Yeah. Tell me whatever you want. I know you love me. It doesn't matter what pronoun you use. Instead, it's like, yeah, rewire your brain. Practice. What are you doing? Figure it out.
Well, don't you just get the feeling that if she called her, like Birdie really wouldn't be that upset about it. Like Busy Phillips would be more upset by getting it wrong than Birdie.
It's really hard. That conversation actually ascended to the point where it was being discussed that it's a good thing to practice for your friends with new pronouns. Is there a cut associated with this?
Okay. Is that number 9?
Shantira says, you got it. Oh, yeah, actually, I do have that. Yeah, play track 9.
Also, one of the things that has helped me with making sure I get it right, or not get pronouns right, but like to not get it wrong, is to practice at home. I'll like say that person's name and then use sentences where I say, oh, they are, or they're coming, or like they were there.
No, you're not. She's not doing that. I don't believe that she's really doing that.
I prefer to practice guitar at home. But if you want to practice pronouns, you go for it.
I don't believe that people are doing that. I'm sorry.
She goes on to say that if you can't get the pronouns right, you shouldn't even talk to non-binary people.
Oh, that's going to solve a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's like, don't you want to be accepted in society? Instead, they're like, no, we've changed the language. If you can't do it, then you can't talk to us. That seems like a lot more segregation is going to happen with that attitude.
They said yesterday, why don't you practice not being so offended when people fuck up?
Yes.
No matter what they fuck up.
I wonder, though, are people really that offended, or is it these people on their behalf, usual, that are allies, so offended?
Yeah. Allies.
So, they explained that one of the things that I do is I don't use pronouns at all. I just use the person's name over and over again.
Oh, yeah, that's not weird.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. Really? Listen to how awkward this is, because Casey actually tries to do this, and I call this the pronoun dance. This is track 8.
But you know what's so great about Birdie is so strong, and Birdie speaks up about things that are important to Birdie all the time. Oh, I even know that, and I'm not Birdie's mom.
5 birdies in 12 seconds. So awkward.
I'm going to choose my preferred pronouns just to be my name. So I don't ever want to hear a pronoun in regards to me. It just always has to be my name.
Great news, Drew. Yes. Izzy has figured out the solution to gender inequality. And I'm so proud of her, because this is a big issue that we have going on. They got 2021. We're solving it. Track 13.
Part of true equality, gender equality, and in the fight as a feminist and trying to have intersectionality and all that, it never fucking occurred to me that what we really have to do is get rid of pronouns.
That's it. We got it all figured out.
Oh, so we just always use the person's name, and we'll have conversations like we just heard. But we'll hear the person's name over and over and over. They'll have everyone's self-esteem, too, because you'll hear your name all the time.
Wait a sec. How do you get rid of systemic pronouns? I mean, they're everywhere. They're they're in the law. They're written in law, I'm sure. I mean, that's pretty tough to get rid of that.
Mark, you don't have to be a genius to realize that changing the language doesn't change the actual problems of society.
It doesn't change people's feelings or attitudes towards other people.
Right. That's not actually fixing the problem when you do that.
Isn't a lot of it just window dressing?
Yes, it is.
From said allies.
Because,
just treat people like they're fucking people.
I end up listening to this and finding myself, first of all, irritated because of the comments about white men. which, you know, my skin isn't that thin that I'm really falling apart over it. But you lose a little bit of sympathy for someone when you feel that, you know, you're sort of being attacked, which I think when you suggest that there's only two white men in the world that you should want to be or choose to be.
Yeah, if you have to.
You know, it's not really terribly complimentary. But it gets onto the pronouns and the they-them thing. And I go back to the place I always go, which is here. When did we vote on they, them, and who chose this, and why would you choose what we use as a plural to describe, be a pronoun for a singular being?
Drew, they go on to say that we're just scratching the surface with they, them. There are actually hundreds of pronouns, and that we have to learn all of them, because everyone's got their own.
But this is the kind of thing, it's a silly little resentment that's going to be caught, and it's going to hurt the people who least need it, who are already suffering in many ways because of discriminatory practices or people who just can't handle people that are different. And I am completely sympathetic to this child who is going through this, but through the people surrounding her, it's not that I'm developing resentment towards Birdie, but it's just they're making it hard.
They're
Why are
not
they doing
her any favors?
No.
In fact, going forward, this might be extremely difficult for her if she chooses that she wants to live her life a different way.
For who?
It's weird putting a 12-year-old.
For who? You just dead pronoun pronounder.
I apologize, Dave. But you know, that's why I've
How
always
How sexual is a 12-year-old?
Putting too much of your nowadays. Child's information online can be a bad thing, but putting it national publication, making a huge deal out of busy Phillips podcast, that's
She's definitely a bad parent. Right.
All right, have us white guys yelled at clouds enough now. I do want to point out one other thing that I know Drew hated because he sent me the text, and then he talked about it yesterday when she abbreviates certain words starting with track two.
I would say yes, of course. Howevs.
Oh my God.
I don't like the way she talks either, the speech
pattern. Oh, it's so hateable.
Yeah, it is. It's weird. Just brutal.
And she's an actress.
But who says howevs?
Howevs.
I mean, assholes. How can you like a person that says that? It's impossible.
Drew, it gets worse. She does an ad read for this company called Bev. And Bev makes these like really crappy wine in a can things. Mm-hmm. And this is her explaining the three different flavors they have, track 12.
They have three varietals, rosé, sauv blanc, and pinot gris.
They have three varietals. Rosé, that's fine. Sauv blanc. I had to rewind it because I was like, what is she talking about? Oh, Sauvignon blanc. Yeah. Okay. Oh, and then pinot gris.
Grigio.
Right. No, there's Pinot Gris, G-R-I-S.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
No, okay. This is Pinot Grigio. I looked up on their website.
Well, then she's incorrect. It.
I love your attention to detail, incorrect. Carl.
I always check my facts, Drew. I don't want to look like an asshole.
That's a totally different varietal.
Wow. Is this show going to make it onto Who Are These Podcasts ever?
It should, because it really is entertaining. Everything was clippable, but I couldn't make it through it. I couldn't listen to the whole thing.
That's awful. Well, that's good. It saves you time. He had enough good material before he made it all the way through.
Okay, so where are we going from here?
So Drew sent me a list that was featured on CNN, and the headline was, "These podcasts helped us through some of 2020's most difficult conversations." And CNN put together this list of podcasts, and there are a few that stood out to me, but this one specifically, Jemele Hill is unbothered. You guys know Jemele Hill from ESPN.
I don't think of unbothered when I think of Jemele Hill.
Right.
I really don't.
It's not really on the nose, is it?
No. Oh, boy. Where are we going with this?
So she had a guest on named Megan Rapinoe. You guys know who Megan is? Yeah. Mark, you're a
sure
soccer
do.
Fan.
Yeah.
Soccer player.
Some people call her Rapinoe.
Yes. Someone in the show may have called her that more than a few times by accident.
I had to listen to them say it. I didn't know either. But apparently she's engaged to a WNBA superstar, Sue Bird, or maybe they're already married.
Star of those insurance commercials that I hate so much because there were a bunch of people lined up to get her autograph. Oh, God. Remember that? It drove me up a wall. It's like no one has ever gotten in line for her autograph.
So this podcast is all about racism, and I have to tell you what real racism is, guys. I sent a text to Drew and Mark earlier today to say I was doing Jemele Hill's podcast, and it changed the name to Janelle. A white person's name.
Very racist. Yeah.
Apple did that. I have an iPhone. Apple did it.
They're just going to blame their algorithm.
You're right.
Well, clearly this guy just only texts white people. We saw inside his phone.
So I have a quick clip that sums up the show for me. It's track 18.
Yeah, you're racist.
Exactly. You're racist. Yeah. Yes.
What? Everybody's a racist according to these two women, which is always a lot of fun.
God, then no one is.
All right, so this is fun. Before she has her guest on, Megan, she's going through this idea that we wouldn't immediately, as soon as Joe Biden goes into office, just forgive everybody's student loan. She thinks this is a no-brainer, that we would just forgive everyone's student loan right off the bat. And then she figures out the real reason why people are against this, track 14.
I'm just going to guess.
I can't wait.
I'm going to guess racism.
Since they didn't get debt relief, nobody can have debt relief. This was a real thing, but I thought about it and realized this resentment wasn't just directed at those who dared to educate themselves. This resentment was also directed at Black people.
Really?
Did you know that?
What, the resentment about forgiving student loans?
Yes.
No. Well, for this person, that's not the case. I'm not even sure that I'm against it anymore, honestly, after hearing Brandon cry.
I'll tell you why
so
you should be against it. It's another bank bailout.
You know what?
The college doesn't fix the problem. The colleges still get the fucking money. They're problem.
Yeah, now I agree. The money should come from the colleges. You're right.
Now that I've paid off my student loans, government. I'm against it. Because I paid them off.
Right.
I know it does seem kind of unfair. Shouldn't we give relief to the people who successfully paid their student loans? Shouldn't they get at least half the money back?
No, but I do agree
with
that.
I'm semi-serious.
But I will always stand by the education needs to be cheaper than it is. I will say that. And there are a lot of predatory companies that have really exploited that. ITT Technical Institute.
You still took the loan.
That's true. I made the decision. You're right.
Well, that's the part that, you know, to simply call it as, you know, something people have against Black people. Is that what she said? Black people or minorities? She said Black people, didn't she?
She said Black people, yeah.
That's so silly because, honestly, whenever I think of that side of it, like why I would be against it, I think, well, if you sign something and you get the money and you use the money, and then you decide that I shouldn't have to pay that back. I don't like that. Just sounds wrong.
In this country, what is historically one of the most racist policies in this country? It's redlining, right? And it's not giving loans, right? Isn't that?
Yeah. Well, no, that was the idea, was that everyone should be able to get a loan. And that's essentially what that is. Anyone can borrow any amount of money and go to any college.
Yeah.
So. And then you're going to say, but we don't want to pay it back. And I'm not referring to any specific race or anyone. I'm just saying, you know, to suggest that you shouldn't have to pay this back or it's a no-brainer, just forgive it, I think is a little much.
I was never a fan of the phrase predatory loans, even back in 08.
It is a problem, but wouldn't it be great if the people who can't afford to pay back their loans, the colleges just lost that money? But instead, as we know, the federal government guarantees these loans, so the colleges will never get shortchanged on any of this. So this whole thing is ridiculous. We've created a huge problem for ourselves, and then we're pretending that racism is the problem. Okay, yeah. Sure. I guess if you see everything through that lens,
it's pretty fascinating.
There you hit the nail on the head.
I'll give them credit for that. It's an interesting thing to discuss. I'm not sure I agree with their solution, but anyway.
So then they're talking about, because Megan is famous for siding with Colin Kaepernick back in 2016 when no other white people were kneeling and taking up that stance.
Wait, pardon me, hold on. Can I have to stop you? Megan is famous for that?
She was. It was a story.
I didn't really know that. I don't even remember her saying anything, to be honest.
Bring her to the forefront.
She was at the forefront, yeah.
Was she was?
At the forefront of kneeling.
She was pretty good
at
soccer, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I guess I wasn't watching soccer.
What? How sexist of you to not watch our women's team. Because after all, they're better than the U.S. men's team.
When Carl said Megan Rapinoe was at the, did I say her name right? Yeah, Rapinoe.
Yes. Yeah.
Was at the forefront? Were you guys like in your minds agreeing with that statement when Carl said that?
I knew who she was, but mainly because of that. I mean, she was very vocal, and I want to say she was vocal in 2016 with the election.
Okay, but no, my question was when Carl said Megan was at the forefront of kneeling, were you in your brain agreeing with that?
Yeah.
Brandon?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
She led the charge for the U.S. Chick team. U.S. female. How dare I?
Okay.
Yeah, she was one of the broads who was kneeling.
She was one of them broads of a day. Get on your knees like you're supposed to.
Bend those gams of yours.
I apologize for stopping you, Carl. Wasn't something that computed with me, but go ahead.
So it's so funny because she's talking about how it took the NFL so long to get it right. Like, what's wrong with these people? Because obviously the commissioner was very much against kneeling for the national anthem, and they had this whole fight, and then eventually they said, it's fine, do whatever you want. Track 17, because what's interesting about this is, remember, when it comes to pronouns, everyone else has to figure it out.
Because what? We're worried about what? Upsetting people's feelings, like upsetting, you know, people's view on the military or disrespect or whatever it is. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's
people who served our military, who defended that flag and everything it stands for, and now you're kneeling in front of it. That could be offensive to some people. That's what the point is.
Well, yeah. Some people were offended by it. So, and some people, this is the part, I really didn't want to get too deep into this argument, but
yeah,
the part that drove me crazy was when people would say, I just don't like kneeling during the national anthem. It really wasn't anything except that they felt some reverence for the song, but no one could just accept that. It was like, no, then you're against stopping police from doing this to, you know, minorities. It's like, no, this is, I'm against the way they're protesting it, not the protest. I didn't think that was that hard to understand, but it was.
Were you saying that in that podcast they were still upset at the NFL because it took them so long to figure it out? How about the fact that
they
figured it out then? How about the fact that they finally came around? They can't be happy about that.
No,
sorry, everybody can't figure it out.
Racist and oppressive.
But if people come around and that change eventually happens, I mean, that's a slow wheel. A lot of times, you're talking about the NFL, and they came around in about 4 years. That's pretty fast.
Well, Mark, it's crazy. The way these people talk, I had to turn it off at some point because they're so ignorant to what is going on in the world.
You had to go find a full length mirror to look at.
They bring up these straw man arguments that are just insane, and no one challenges them on it because they're just shouting into the echo chamber.
You're allowed to.
Yeah, so this is track 15.
A lot of white people and a lot of white males haven't really ever had to assess their position in the world, whereas, being gay or being a woman, like, I always have to. Of course, I always have to think about all of these things that are going on. Like, why are we teaching our girls to walk with their keys in their hand and not our boys to think about just not raping people?
All right, I would stop her right there and say, who's telling boys not to rape people? Are you fucking kidding me on that? What world is she living in?
Well, there are some pro-rape people who really need to come around, I guess. That's another thing we need to work on people for.
There was that one protest, that pro-rape protest in Washington last week. But other than that, I don't see it very often.
Carl, is this a show that could possibly be featured on WATP?
This one for sure, because Jemele Hill is out of her mind. I don't know what she's thinking.
What's happened, man?
Yeah, but to her credit, she's found an audience for this, and she definitely gets pub whenever she comes out with these types of stories.
But do you guys remember when she wrote for the Free Press? And I don't. This side wasn't there, and maybe because of the times and where her career took her, she's just leaning into it. I mean, I don't know.
I told you, Mark, and I showed you this, where I get emailed tweets every day from generally local people, and I get a lot of tweets from the Wojos and the Jim Schaefers and people who are sort of in our media world, and it seems that Jemele Hill's tweets are in there every day. And I don't follow Jemele Hill, but every single tweet is about racism, and I think of how wearying that must be. I guess it's not. I guess you're right. She's leaning into it. It's her thing, and it works.
I'm wondering if it's almost like Alex Jones. I mean, does she believe everything that she throws out there, or does she know when it's going to be a hot topic because it's going to push buttons?
I don't think you
can. Some may call her smart for it.
I don't know if you can believe.
Oh, it's working.
I don't know if she can believe everything, but she's got to believe a lot of it. I mean, she doesn't. She sounds genuine in her belief.
I think she probably. I don't know. I can't put myself in her head. I'm a white man.
I'll tell you what. I'll finish it off with with one more.
Assess your place in
the
world, Drew. Sorry, Carl. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I got one more clip that your audience will very much enjoy. What they're talking about here in track 19 is on January 20th, when Trump is finally forced to leave office, they have tweets that are ready to go. They're already in their saved tweets. They're just going to hit send. And here's what they got.
Because the day he actually has to leave, like where you see that long exit out the White House. Oh, trust me. I got about 6 tweets ready to draft.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely like you about to lose your job.
Thought you'd enjoy that one.
Wow. I can't imagine having tweets ready.
You about to lose your job.
2.5 weeks before, well, this is probably more, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Oh, my God, I got to get these tweets ready for, that's, well.
And honestly, why can't you just tweet that out now? I mean, after on the 20th, he'd already lost his job.
They talked about tweets they had ready to go. They talked about a half a dozen different tweets that they had, and they read them all out to each other and giggled, and they're very excited about it.
You're not going to steal any of them, are you, Carl? Because you could steal their thunder.
Oh, that'd be great.
Do it. Steal their thunder.
Start a new Twitter account.
He gets thousands of retweets.
Start a new Twitter. At future tweets of. Just start tweeting them out.
I think Carl should just use them and become an influencer.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
All right, so what's on WATP this Sunday?
Well, as you mentioned, right now, if you go and check out what we have out, Future Primitive with Joanna Harcourt-Smith. That's a lot of fun. And then coming up this weekend, Pat Oates is coming back on the show. He's a very funny comedian out of Connecticut. We're doing the 1,000 Comics podcast. So that'll be a lot of fun. Oh,
I really liked the last episode that you guys had with Pat. I thought he's really great. Quick. He's yeah. Really funny.
He's got the right style for WATP. Very quick.
I really enjoyed the Isotopes music podcast. The special edition. It was Isotopes music for an hour and a half?
Honestly. You're a good musician, man. The weird thing is, I'm like, I hear Carl's voice in the singing, so it's kind of because I heard your voice before I heard you sing. It's kind of weird, but the band's good, man.
You guys know I got crushed for that episode.
Oh,
right?
I was going to say,
props to you for being able to, take the pounding you did on your own subreddit because they destroyed you.
I knew it would happen, too. I even played it like a DJ. Hey, go back to 2003. Here's a song. They hate it.
Yeah, Carl, it was, I think you jumped the shark for a lot of the subreddit. Didn't they call it the 9/11 of WATP?
You should
never seen more negativity.
Review your own podcast in your own show. It'd be very meta of you going back inside, right?
I did that twice. I did an episode 100 and episode 200. We reviewed WATP and I brought people on to make fun of me.
That's great. I love it. I love the attitude, man.
All right, Carl.
Real quick, I want to leave you with this, guys. I'm really super annoyed with the NFL because they scheduled my Bills playing at 1 o'clock on Saturday, the worst time slot. That's when I record WATP.
Oh,
so I got to move the recording time. But anyway, Brandon is on Team Bills. I love you for it, Brandon.
I like them this year. I'm rooting for them. Yeah, I mean, I can't root for the Lions, so they seem like a fun team. One of those dumpster teams that has now found a way to be good. So good luck to them.
Thanks,
hey, seriously. I'm happy for you.
Is OJ going to be invited to the games, or is OJ going to show up and
you know what's funny? I signed a petition saying that we don't want Cuomo at the game because Cuomo is not allowed anywhere to the game, and now he wants to make it so 6,700 people can go to this game, and he wants to be one of them. I'm like, F you.
No way. Oh, my God.
You're not a Bills fan.
Start a petition to get the juice back out there.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
Cool. In the murdering shoes.
I'm going to say it.
Is it Rich Stadium where he was wearing the murdering shoes when they found the picture
Bruno
like Bagley's? 6 months? Yeah.
Not
those ugly ass shoes.
He looks so big.
Carl, how big was the juice trial around there? It must have been insane.
Oh, it was as big here as it was everywhere else. It was the biggest piece of news in the country for a year. It was amazing.
Yeah. You've just been juiced.
You know what's funny though? I went and saw Jim Rome. He used to do these what he called tour stops.
Yeah.
And Jim Rome came to Buffalo, and it was a big deal. He was at the baseball stadium. We all go in there. The way he entered the stadium was in a white Bronco driving around the field. It was so funny.
That's really good.
That's great.
Yeah, he did a tour stop.
That really pissed him off.
All right, Carl, we'll check out WATP Sunday, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
See you, bud.
Carl from WATP.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who are these podcasts? WATP.